Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies.
Today's episode, Oscar-nominated Best Original Scores for 2024. Yes, as we record this show, the Oscars approach on Sunday, March 2nd, 2025, which means today we are due to listen to the Oscar-nominated scores for movies released in 2024. There are, of course, five movies nominated for Best Original Score. Why don't we just list them off now? The Brutalist, music composed by Daniel Blumberg. Conclave, composed by Volker Bertelmann. Emilia Perez, composed by Clement Ducal and Camille. Wicked, by Stephen Schwartz and John Powell. And The Wild Robot, music composed by Chris Bowers. Yeah, so we're going to listen to pieces from these soundtracks, and I'll make a few comments. And then at the end of the show, of course, we've got the trailer, and I've picked out a song that doesn't quite fit into the overall orchestral feel of most of what we're going to hear today. But it's one of those things that it just sounds particularly fun at the end of its film. All will be revealed at the trailer. So let's be clear. This is for Best Original Score. That means we're not necessarily talking about Best Song, which is a totally different category, usually a very, very mixed bag, shall we say. And actually, this year, there's a little controversy about the Best Song category and the Oscar show, and I'll mention that later. But I am going to sneak in one of the nominated songs because it's part of a nominated score. We'll get to that in a little while, too. So why don't we begin with a score that I found maybe the most haunting of the year for a movie that is one of the truly ambitious projects in recent American film, and that's The Brutalist. 3.5 hours long, nothing less than a contemplation of the meaning of America, of art, the post-Holocaust world, and the immigrant in society. All of that is a lot, and if this film is somewhat enigmatic in its meanings, I have to say it's always fascinating. The director Brady Corbet fits all of these ideas and more into a story about a Jewish Hungarian architect, played by Best Actor Oscar nominee Adrian Brody, who comes to America after World War II and, while separated from his family for a while, comes under the rather dubiously protective wing of one of America's wealthiest men, played by Guy Pearce, who hires the architect to create this huge public use building, ostensibly a monument to his mother, but probably really a monument to himself. Here is a piece of the score by Daniel Blumberg, after which I'll say something about the composer, who's a relative newcomer to the business of film soundtracks. This is an early piece that establishes some themes and gives a sense of the monumentalism, I think, of the movie's vision, also of the busyness of its score. It's one of the three separately titled overtures that are included on the soundtrack album. This one is called Overture Bus.
Thank you.
That was one piece of the Oscar-nominated score for The Brutalist. It's called Overture Bus, composed by Daniel Blumberg. He is an English musician and artist who came out of the world of indie and experimental music, and The Brutalist is his second feature film score. First was for a 2020 film called The World to Come, which was directed by the co-screenwriter of The Brutalist, Mona Fastvold. She's also married to The Brutalist's director, Brady Corbet. Daniel Blumberg has said that he was able to be on the set of The Brutalist as they were shooting and get ideas as the project developed. Many composers don't have that opportunity, as a film might be presented to them and usually is in its near final cut, which they then dream up the music cues. He has said, "For me, seeing the shoot and the space, reading the script, I prefer that as opposed to working to picture." And by that phrase, he means seeing that edited film and then composing. And he goes on to say, and you want to create a sonic world in the same way that Brady is trying to create a visual language with his story. It's like I'm trying to help him with the audio side of the story. That's a pretty good way of putting what a film composer does. And here's a little of that audio language from The Brutalist. Two more tracks here. The first one is a very melodic theme. You'll hear that it's also accompanied by some ambient sounds, which are associated with the architect's wife, Ersebet. That's the title of the track as well, played by Felicity Jones. And then you'll hear an almost old-fashioned melody in the core of that track. We'll then listen to a brief bit in the style of post-war jazz in a track titled New York. two pieces from the soundtrack of The Brutalist, composed by Daniel Blumberg. You just heard a little burst of jazz in a track called New York. And before that, a melodic cue called Erzsébet, after the name of the architect's wife, sampling there some of the range necessary when tackling a big historical score like this. One more now from The Brutalist, and this is going to include some of the script from the movie. The track is called Monologue, and it is indeed a soliloquy from the Hungarian architect played by Adrian Brody. So we'll get even more of a sense of the movie from this cut.
Nothing is of its own explanation. Is there a better description of a cube than that of its construction? It was a war on, and yet, it is my understanding that many of the sites of my projects had survived. They remain there, still in the city. When the terrible recollections of what happened in Europe cease to humiliate us, I expect for them to serve instead as a political stimulus, sparking the upheavals that so frequently occur in the cycles of peoplehood. I already anticipate the communal rhetoric of anger, fear. A whole river of such frivolities may flow undammed. My buildings were devised to endure such erosion of the Danube's shoreline.
Music and words from The Brutalist. The music is by Daniel Blumberg, and the monologue spoken by the Oscar-nominated Adrian Brody. You're listening to The Music of the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are listening to the Oscar-nominated original scores from 2024. All right, I thought we'd do a lot of shifting of gears today, tonally speaking, so why not just leap into the brassy Broadway-style sound of another nominated film, Wicked, that variation on the witchy world of The Wizard of Oz, music composed by John Powell and the Broadway musical's original songwriter, Stephen Schwartz. And that brings up an interesting point here, which is where to draw the line with the category of best original score. The nomination does not include the songs from a musical, and yet those songs that Schwartz wrote back in 2003 for the Broadway show are, of course, in the film and are worked into the non-singing parts of the score too. And as a matter of fact, there are rules about this, where there's all kinds of percentages of original music that have to be in there and all that kind of stuff. But it still raises the issue of what the voters are voting for when they vote for best original score, because it might be some of the things that aren't actually original. Okay, well, there's nothing quite like arguing about Oscar rules. We could go on about that. But instead, why don't we hear an example of music from Wicked? I watched an interview with John Powell in which he describes taking a piece of the Stephen Schwartz song, No One Mourns the Wicked, and inserting the cue just briefly into his underscore for a farewell scene between the film's two witches, which gives an extra emotional punch to that moment in the story. Here is that cue titled Train to Emerald City.
Thank you.
Music there from Wicked, composed by John Powell and Stephen Schwartz, that track titled Train to Emerald City. Both composers are well-traveled. Powell, an Englishman, did the music for The Bourne Identity and its sequels and has done lots of animation, including Happy Feet and How to Train Your Dragon. Stephen Schwartz, at this point, kind of a legend in Broadway musical history, had a great run in the 1970s that included Godspell and Pippin and a few other things, and did some work on Disney animated musicals, too, along the way. Wicked has certainly established itself as a cultural institution, I guess. And the movie that was released in 2024 is only part one of that musical phenomenon on the big screen. The concluding part is going to arrive in November 2025. And even those of us who don't really know the Broadway musical that well can appreciate all the Wizard of Oz references, I guess, including our next selection, which is titled Monkey Mayhem. And yes, those flying monkeys do play a role in this version of the story. Here's more music from Wicked. That cue is titled Monkey Mayhem from the soundtrack of Wicked, composed by John Powell and Stephen Schwartz. Now let's move to something moodier for our next choice, music from the movie Conclave. It's one of those principles of movie watching that it's hard to miss with a story about
backstabbing skullduggery within a hothouse institution, whether it's a royal family or a government, or in this case, about what happens behind the scenes at the Vatican when the Council of Cardinals gathers to elect a new pope. Ralph Fiennes plays the conflicted cardinal who presides over the tug of war between conservative and progressive candidates. The film is full of melodrama and plot twists and sudden revelations, and you need music to reflect that kind of sinister politicking. And that is what composer Volker Bertelmann provides, as we will hear in this cue from early in the film, titled Seal the Room, so named because the voters need to be absolutely sequestered during their deliberations, which go on for days. As you will hear, this music would not be out of place in a modern Hitchcock picture. That is music from Conclave, composed by Volker Bertelmann. This German musician is already an Oscar winner, having won for Best Original Score for All Quiet on the Western Front, which was directed by Conclave's director, Edward Berger. Maybe that's appropriate because Conclave gives us another kind of war, this one waged by men of peace, ostensibly, whose battlefield is the realm of centuries-old tradition. Bertelmann has also been in the world of hip-hop and experimental classical music, all kinds of things, partly under the pseudonym Hauschka. Let's hear another cue from Conclave titled Innocent, a moment in which the various narrative and musical threads come together.
Thank you.
piece from the soundtrack of Conclave, composed by Volker Bertelmann. You just heard Innocent, a key moment in the story of a papal election. Well, there is certainly variety in this year's original score nominees, films from other countries and with Broadway origins, and in our next case, an animated film. The Wild Robot may have been the biggest surprise in this category, but when you pay attention to the inventive score by Chris Bowers, you'll understand the nomination. This is a movie about a robot named Roz, who becomes activated in the middle of a forest. And although this robot is eager to fulfill its functions, it can't find any human to give it orders, which is how a host of animal characters come into the tale, notably a baby bird that needs Roz to be its surrogate mother. Let's dip into the score by Chris Bowers with a piece called The Egg and the Fox. The egg, about to hatch into that baby bird we just mentioned, and the fox is going to do sidekick duties for our robot. Music from the animated film, The Wild Robot, composed by Chris Bowers. A cue there called The Egg and the Fox, meant to conjure up some lively action. There's almost a hint of James Bond music there at times. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are listening to the nominations for Best Original Score for films released in 2024. So this fellow, Chris Bowers, is only 35 years old. He's a former Juilliard student whose interests range from jazz to classical and beyond. He was previously Oscar-nominated for his score for Green Book, and he also played the piano parts in that film, including doubling Mahershala Ali's hands in close-up on screen. Bowers has actually won an Oscar, but not as a composer. He co-directed an Oscar-winning live-action short film called The Last Repair Shop, which looked at how musical instruments are maintained by the Los Angeles school system for the use of public school students. Here's another cue from The Wild Robot in a brighter mood this time, this one titled after its robot hero, Roz Builds a Home. Thank you. More music from The Wild Robot there, a cue called Roz Builds a Home, referring to the robot character voiced by Lupita Nyong'o. That music composed by Chris Bowers. All right, one more shift of gears here as we move to our final nominated film, Emilia Perez, another musical, and one with the zaniest mix of tones and genres of probably any movie this year. It is about a deadly Mexican drug cartel mobster who transitions to female and begins a new life, although the past, turns out, is never entirely past. And a lot of that is sung and danced, kind of a strange, violent fairy tale shot on French soundstages by director Jacques Audiard. For the soundtrack, including the song score, the composing duties are taken by Clément Ducal and Camille Dalmay. She's usually credited by her performing name, Camille. She's very popular in France as a performer. Here's the part of the non-song soundtrack. This is a cue titled Subiendo Part 2 from Emilia Perez. Music from Emilia Perez, a soundtrack composed by Camille and Clément Ducal, a film that got 13 Oscar nominations. That was the most of any film this year, although it ran into a few problems when some unpleasant social media posts from its star, Carla Sofia Gascón, surfaced during awards season. Her historic nomination as the first trans woman nominated for Best Actress. For that reason, we'll probably not get beyond the nomination stage, it seems, although there are better chances for co-star Zoe Saldana in the supporting actress category, even though Saldana's role is clearly a lead role. I have to insist on that, but that's part of the madness of the Oscars making up their categories. And she is terrific in the film, and we're going to hear her now in one of this year's Oscar-nominated songs, also composed by Camille and Clément Ducal, and some help on the lyrics by director Jacques Audiard. The song is titled El Mal, in which Saldana's character lashes out at the hypocrisies of the upper class.
Los conoce a mi madre. secretario de educación disque pública especialista en las empresas fantasmas. Hoy sus contratos sí, sí son reales, pero las disque escuelas no se construyen ahora. Cuéntanos tuyo, ¿de dónde sacaste tu jet, tu alberga, tu hotel? Miren al gobernador, ¿quién votó por él? ¿La gente o el cártel? Hay que comprar, ay sí, uno a uno los votos de los campesinos. Paga, págale al cártel, bombón, ya están sentados en tu pinche trono. Puto retraso de pago, acabarás en la silla de ruedas, lo sabe bien el que perdió su mano. Sé muy puntual si eres corrupto. Miren al querido Gabriel Mendoza, ah, con su nueva mujer, su nueva esposa, muy joven, muy rubia.
That was El Mal, one of the Oscar-nominated songs from Emilia Perez, composed by Camille and Clément Ducol and Jacques Audiard, sung in impressive rapid-fire fashion there by Zoe Saldana, with help from Carla Sofia Gascon. And if you're wondering if the fact that the lyrics are in Spanish and the songwriters are French was complicated, yes, it was, by their own account, and they worked with Mexican translators to try to get it right. Something the movie has gotten a little bit of criticism for. And yet, Emilia Perez exists at such a wild, heightened level of unreality by design, it's perhaps not completely relevant to fault it for not being overly realistic. You know, you won't see that song, or any other one, apparently, performed at the Oscars because the show has decided not to include performances of the nominated best songs. That's a pretty unusual decision, and if you're like me, it's going to definitely erase at least one bathroom break in the course of the show. Apologies to the nominees every year, but somehow the weakness of a lot of the songs historically and the tendency for somebody to think that it would be a great idea to have an interpretive dance for a movie about nuclear war, for instance, makes me very much okay with this decision. Okay, well, our trailer music there indicates it's time for an offbeat touch. And our choice for today's show is a pop song that decorates the end credits of The Brutalist, which, and I'm not going to do a big spoiler here, is a scene that takes place in 1980, well after the main action of the movie has happened. The scene is in Venice. So although the song is pretty crazy in how different it sounds from the very serious film that we've just been watching, it does fit the time and the place, because this is a 1978 disco song by the Italian duo La Bionda. It's called One for You, One for Me, and it is a real curveball coming after the 3.5-hour post-Holocaust drama that we've been watching. But give it a listen and see if there's something weirdly appropriate about this release of tension. We'll be right back. That was One for You, One for Me, written by Carmelo and Michelangelo La Bionda and Richard Palmer James, performed by La Bionda, a European disco hit released in 1978. Now, why it is just right for the ending of The Brutalist is perhaps just as baffling a point as some of the other elements in that absorbing film, but somehow I think it works. Well, five movies, five original scores, five Oscar nominations. For sheer variety, the movies and the music are impressive here, and we cover a whole lot of range, some of it quite unexpected. We're recording this before the March 2nd, 2025 Oscar telecast, so I don't know what will win, but I think perhaps The Brutalist would get my vote for how well it jibes with the mood of the movie, in sync with the architect-artist at the center of that film. But we'll see. We're going to leave off with a little more from Emilia Perez, composed again by Camille and Clément Ducol. This track is titled Beatification Number 1. In the meantime, best of luck in your Oscar pool, and I hope we'll see you again before next year's Oscars. I'm Robert Horton, and I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.